At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Dick's text from earlier, I'm saying he's going to a team with more throwing threats. However, we're going to be throwing the ball more than Buffalo did. So I don't think he'll be losing that many completions. And then 409 Josh, I would like to suggest starting a Killer Bees Calls Hall of Fame and nominate Lamont. His call is the first inductee. We'll think about that, 409 Josh. We'll workshop that.
He dropped a few gems.
He did. He was pretty good.
Massaging whatever he was massaging was.
That was key.
That caught me
list.
By surprise.
I don't think it's not. There was no question of what was being massaged.
No, I know. I just didn't want to say it again.
I crunched the numbers, though, by the way, because like, oh, Joe Brady threw the ball very, very few. Like once he took over as the OC, Josh Allen wasn't throwing the football a lot. Allen threw the ball 35 times a game with Dorsey as his OC last year. He threw it 33 times a game with Brady as his OC. And that included a game in which they beat Dallas by like 21, and he only threw it 15 times because they blew him out. So and in the playoffs, 30 passes, 39 passes in two games. It is a myth that Josh Allen started to throw the football less once Joe Brady took over. Yeah. Maybe shorter passes, maybe more intermediate passes, but it's a myth that they became this, and they wanted to run it more, and they emphasized that, but they threw it just as much.
That number's surprising to me, because just with the way the trend changed and the way that it seemed like they were hyper-focused on the run, I wouldn't have thought that.
All right, Matthew Judon traded to the Falcons. He was traded for a third-round pick, and Jeremy Fowler reported about an hour after the trade, I think it was just as we were going off the air yesterday, that the Texans were one of the teams in on Matthew Judon. Why? Why are the Texans, and Aaron Wilson has reported since then that the Texans were doing their due diligence, which a general manager should do, and that it was just like a preliminary call. It never really amounted to anything, or even, I don't think he said if there was an offer or not, but it made it sound like he never really offered anything. They were just checking in. But why do you think the Texans would have, you know, interest in Matthew Judon? And if Jeremy Fowler's report was right, and they were one of the last couple of teams that were in the conversation, why? Why, whenever you already have the defensive ends that you do?
Yeah, I mean, look, they need linebacker depth. We were talking about Justin Simmons.
He's a defensive end.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I was going to say, they need linebacker depth, and they could possibly look at safety depth. But they definitely don't need pass rushing depth, because you're going to get Autry back, and you have the two bookends that you have. I don't know. I mean, I think the easiest correlation, well, he's a New England guy, and maybe they love what they heard about him. But it doesn't make sense, because you've got Danielle Hunter locked up long-term, and Will Anderson's on his rookie deal, so you're not going to be needing a guy like that, and you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, this was and I believe that the Aaron Wilson report more than the Fowler report, even though Wilson hasn't hit 1,000. He's not, perfect. He has missed.
What did he miss on, Jeremy?
D'Amico Ryans. He missed on D'Amico. He said D'Amico Ryans will not have interest in the Houston Texans job. Boy, what an alternate reality this would be if D'Amico Ryans is not the head coach, though, huh?
Like, the vibes would not be as high as they are right now.
Like, D'Amico was my number two target after Benny Johnson, who is not a head coach in the NFL. He's staying with Detroit. I regret saying that. I'm so happy that they hired D'Amico. I'm a big D'Amico guy now. He's a role model of mine, and I mean that sincerely.
Do you think that they make the playoffs and do what they did last year with CJ, not D'Amico?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either.
I think they're equally as important. I don't think you make the playoffs without either one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you needed both.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that, depending on who the coach would have been if it wasn't D'Amico, whoever the offensive coordinator is could have completely altered what you had happen last year, because Slowick brought that system and the way he played to CJ.
Yeah. So here's my conspiracy theory. And look, I believe the reports that, I believe Aaron Wilson, that they were just calling, doing their due diligence. That's what a team should do. And it would have been great to have Judon for like a 6-round pick. Like, that would have been fantastic. You rotate in, play a few snaps here and there, kind of be what you wanted J.J. Watt to be, but he's actually still playing football. But here's my conspiracy theory. And look, this, I'm just having some fun here. But here's my conspiracy theory on why they're calling in on Matthew Judon. Why is Will Anderson out right now? And they've said Aaron Wilson. He said that Aaron, that no one thinks that Will Anderson's injury is serious. They don't think it's long term. They expect him back. But what is the injury for Will Anderson? It's an ankle.
Oh,
it's an ankle for Will
like
Anderson.
Last year.
Like last year. Mm. Will Anderson, when he was forced to miss games late last season, what was the injury?
Ankle.
It was a high ankle sprain. Tinfoil hat. And I'm not saying this is it. I'm just saying let's monitor this. Let's keep this in mind. Is Will Anderson going to be Steph Curry early in his career? Whenever the ankles were getting broken, the ankles were getting sprained, couldn't stay on the court. Will Anderson on the field. I'm wondering if they're worried about Will Anderson's ankles. Just my theory.
Okay.
Just my theory. High ankle sprain last year, ankles forcing him to miss time this year. I wonder if they're worried about the weak ankles of Will Anderson.
I hope not, and shame on you for bringing this up.
Why?
Because it's credible. I don't even want to consider
it. Shame on me for bringing it up? What do you mean, shame on me for bringing it up?
I don't want to wish harm.
He doesn't want that evil wish.
I'm just saying we got to pay attention to it. We call it like we see it. I'm not going to tiptoe around things that aren't favorable for the Houston teams. You kidding me?
Yeah, we're just
kidding me?
It does have a ring of believability to me because it not that it's completely, you know, same. This is a little apples and oranges, but when Joe Mixon went down, at first we didn't think he was going to be out that long. They immediately went out and signed a guy we'd heard of with Cam Akers because it turns out he was going to be out a little while. Now, this is a little bit different because Judon would be coming here to be like a regular starter, not like Cam Akers and just a camp body. But why would you attempt to trade for a guy like that if you didn't have an opening up?
And your depth that you brought in isn't going to be there for the first 6 weeks.
That's part of it, too.
That's probably the bigger reason. Like, I'm not saying I believe this. I'm just saying, hey, it popped into my mind. Whenever I saw the Texans when the Jeremy Fowler tweet came out that the Texans were one of the final few teams in on Matthew Judon. Now, the Aaron Wilson tweet kind of, you know, eases it. It's like, well, they just call it. They do their due diligence. The Aaron Wilson report on Will Anderson's, they don't think that it's long-term. They don't think it's serious. I'm just saying, it's ankle injuries within what? He had that one in January, and now we're looking in August. So in a span of 7 months, 8 months, he's had ankle injuries twice. I don't know if this one's the same ankle, but high ankle sprains aren't easy to come back from either.
Yeah. They linger. They linger.
So I don't love that Will Anderson's – if Will Anderson had an injury that wasn't long-term, the one that I would choose for it not to be is the ankle that he hurt last year. So I'm a little bit – I'm not concerned, but I am paying attention to Will Anderson's ankles.
High ankle sprains
are
way more painful and tougher to get around on than your traditional just rolling of the ankle, too, where you can tape it up and you can probably play through a lot of it. But, yeah, you hope that it's not anything that's long-term and something that's going to nag him his whole career. That's for sure. But, you know, we also got to know the grade because, you know, John Grenard.
Well, John Grenard reportedly had a grade one ankle sprain,
right,
which he missed, what was it, two games with
at
a
least,
grade one ankle
yeah,
sprain.
I think it was
then
two.
He did play in the final, right?
He came back for the playoffs.
He toughed it out. Well, didn't he play in the Colts game?
I don't think he played in the regular season.
I thought he played
in the
limited snap.
I don't think he did.
But he was in and out. But I don't think Grenard played.
I think that was the reason I was so critical of him was that he was inactive in a in or out game. Yeah, he missed week 16 and week 17.
Okay, there you go.
And he got hurt in week 15. So if Wilson's report was right that it was a grade one ankle sprain for John Grenard, he missed week 16 and week 17. Two must-win games for the Texans.
That's week 18.
Well, okay. Week 17, week 18. It was game 16-17.
Okay.
He missed the Titan game. He missed the Colt game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
if it was only a grade one ankle sprain, I would have been ushering him out of town. People didn't like when I brought that up last year either. I'm calling like I see it. 713-780-3776. Should I be worried about how Sam, our intern, spelling the name Keith? Is that just a typo?
I almost said something, too. I was like, come on, man. Before E.
I mean, there's times whenever I don't pay attention to how I'm spelling, and I have autocorrect, so it automatically fixed it. I don't think our call board has autocorrect.
But we've seen the name Keith before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm a little worried. I might get a 5 on my concern level for Sam's spelling of Keith. Like, is this our youth these days, where they can't spell a name as common as Keith? I'm a little
worried.
Well,
we know
worried.
We can't. Well, they can't do there. We know they can't do
he
that.
He just had
so.
To.
No, but I'm saying, well, it's exposed when you actually have to give it. Otherwise, with all the other devices, with your computer and your phone, as you mentioned,
well,
you already have.
I will say past interns couldn't spell you guys' names, so I guess I'll take this as an upgrade.
Sam. They got us mixed up.
I mean, spelling my name can be tricky. Spelling,
can it?
Yeah, a little bit. Spelling,
Branham?
A lot of people
difficult.
A lot of people like to do Brenham. Blank's name, though.
There's no way you can misspell Joel Blank.
I'll give somebody the benefit of the doubt on my name, but on Blank's name, that's unacceptable.
I've seen J-O-L-E for really bad spelling, but that you can't.
That I've seen some incredible J-O-L-E? Spellings on my first name.
You've had that your dropped on you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Couple of Starbucks?
Okay, we expect that.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Because you put an E after the long vowel.
But I guess
it's not a long vowel. It's not Joel.
It's like Dole Pineapple is spelled that way.
Yeah, I guess that one kind of makes sense. All right, 713-780-3776. Keith, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I had a quick question for everybody. With Justin Simmons off the board as a free agent, Carl Lawson off the board for a free agent, I'm going to give you five names that are still out there. I want you to rank them. No, they don't have to go to the Texans, but just in general. Hunter Renfro, Donovan Smith, Michael Thomas, Ryan Tannehill, and Yannick Ngakoue. Thanks, guys.
We're just here working for Keith. You're gonna pay us to be your little puppets.
Michael Thomas is an NFL player anymore, so cross him off.
I'm surprised that Renfro is not in the league.
I am too. He had a 100 catch year, three seasons ago,
and then has disappointed ever since. I don't know why.
The Texans have no need for receiver. No. But
I guess I would go in Ngakoue if I had to pick any of those.
Sure. Well, especially because of your potential theory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that would help.
I mean,
he didn't say the name, but I would add Stephon Gilmore to it if we're talking specifically
he's still out
for
there,
the
that's
Texans.
Right, yeah.
But
who is he? He was talking to the Vikings.
I thought he was talking to the Saints. Maybe he's talking to both.
Like the Vikings made that trade with the Colts and then the Cowboys where they traded corners and then like Gilmore was visiting with Minnesota, which is weird. Like, why would Gilmore? I mean, I guess maybe they're the only team that's willing to pay him. But that would seem like a weird fit. Like, you've waited all offseason not to sign. You're a veteran corner. And then you go to a team that's not supposed to be very good.
Unless it's money, right? Instead of going to a winner.
The only team willing to pay him.
That kind of empty the tank a little bit on the bank account for him.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Speaking of we brought up earlier the trade for Judon, because why are the Texans in on Judon? Is it Will Anderson's weak ankles? Are the Falcons the favorite in the NFC South? Vegas would say so, but how big a favorite should they be? And Cleveland Browns, their leader is their backup quarterback. I can't believe it. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
A 218-0, I'm not worried about Will Anderson. I hear that like Kyle Tucker, he's back next Friday. I don't really know what that was. But that's a take of his? He thinks Kyle Tucker's going to be back next Friday? I'll bet that if you want. But are the Falcons the favorites now in the NFC North? They already were the favorite. I looked up the odds today. Falcons are the favorite in the NFC South. I don't know why I said AFC North. NFC South. Atlanta's minus 150. Tampa's plus 325. Saints are plus 400. Carolina's plus 1,500. Not only do they trade for Matthew Judon yesterday, but they also signed Justin Simmons to a one-year contract worth $8 million, $7.5 million, which is guaranteed. Why didn't the Texans make that offer? A little disappointed in Nick Caserio not making that offer, as a matter of fact.
I really wanted Justin Simmons on the Texans, so I wasn't happy when you guys said that.
Did Nick Caserio screw that up? Did Nick Caserio mess it up not signing Justin Simmons to that same type of contract?
We'll see.
We'll see.
Can I finish the thought, though? I think that right now, linebacker could be top priority, too. I think there's other holes to fill on this team. I think that when you start talking about priority, if it is that Petrie's going to play nickel, then they must really believe in the safeties they got on this roster, or they got someone else that they can go to, because, boy, I don't know how that doesn't help the back end of your secondary to have Justin Simmons with his football card and his ability still there to play safety for you.
It sounds like you think it was a mistake.
I think it is.
Yeah, I do too. Jimmy Ward, probably Eric Murray are your starters right now. There's some thought that maybe Bullock eventually takes over for Murray, maybe even by opening week, and maybe they just really like their third rounder and they want to give him a runway to play versus Justin Simmons. I would have brought in Simmons.
Jimmy Ward can stay healthy?
I know.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, too. At his age, I don't think that he's leaning towards getting more endurance and being more durable. I hope to God he does, but I just don't believe he's going to be healthy again.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake not signing Simmons to that exact same contract. But do you like the Falcons in the NFC South?
Yeah, I do. It was between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. And if I'm going to believe regular season in one or the other, I'm going to believe in Kirk Cousins over Baker Mayfield. I love the weapons that Atlanta has on offense. I think their defense was quietly underrated with a lot of good young talent that they spent a lot of picks on before these moves. These two moves solidified even more. I believe it's Atlanta's to lose.
Yeah, I don't know if they were underrated offensively last year. I think that their talent was good on paper. But, you know, you just didn't have the offensive scheme that really allowed them to excel. And they upgraded a quarterback. I do like Kirk Cousins. This texture does not. 0315, Kirk Cousins disappears in big games. Atlanta will not get out of the first round of the playoffs. That wasn't the question.
Right.
This division's so poor. Atlanta at minus 150 seems like the play. And now you've added two like veteran defensive players that should help you. I think Bijan Robinson's one of the better young running backs in the NFL. I like Drake London. They should. I think they have the best roster in this division. I'm surprised you said you like Kirk Cousins more than Baker Mayfield.
Because I've never been a believer in Baker Mayfield. I think Kirk Cousins, that's like even to the texture's point, he's going to get you to the playoffs. Where mm-hmm. he normally craps the bed is in the playoffs. Regular season, he has really solid above average years for wherever he's played. And I believe that with all the weapons around him, I think their defense was underrated. I think the defense, they got a lot of young talent on that defense. Then you add a Judon and a Simmons and you say, hey, look, their defense is going to be good. Their offense has a chance to be really good with all the weapons that they have.
Yeah. I don't know how much I love their coaching hire though. Like with those offensive pieces, I would have liked to see an offensive-minded head coach as opposed to signing Raheem Morris. And, like, I think Zach Robinson could be fine as an offensive coordinator. It came from, like, the Rams scheme. But I would have went offensive-minded there.
Yeah, my question was, who did they hire at OC? Because, yeah, you're right. It's the same thing when we just got done talking about when we were discussing who the Texans were going to get. I wanted an offensive-minded head coach if you were going to go quarterback. In retrospect, was I wrong? Yes. Is DeMeco the right fit? Yes. But yeah, if you've got all those weapons and all that on offense, I'd rather have an offensive-minded head coach or one hell of a good OC.
Yeah, minus 150, I don't mind that. I'll probably end up betting that, if I'm being honest. Tampa Bay plus 325, you're getting some value there. They're the defending NFC South champions. Don't love that team. I just hate this division. This division's awful.
They lost a lot of bets on defense, too.
Yeah, this division's not very good. Saints at plus 400. People were thinking that Carr's not even going to finish the season as the starting quarterback with the Saints.
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
They are hyping Spencer Rattler.
What, 3 years ago was like, he's going to be a future number one pick. And then he had a terrible year at Oklahoma, transferred to South Carolina, got off to it. Not a great start there, and then finished pretty strong. He is talented.
No, they've said it's never been about the talent. It's just about the attitude and everything between the ears. But in terms of just quarterback talent, he's got it.
Am I crazy for liking the value of Carolina at plus 1,500?
Yes.
I think this division's so bad, though. I think you can win at 9-8. And, like, that's insane value. I know the Carolina was awful last year. I know Bryce Young wasn't very good last year. But, like, Tampa Bay won the playoffs. I didn't think they were very good last year because their offensive coordinator was pretty good, who's now their head coach in Carolina. Like, I'm not going to do it, but plus 1,500 is nuts.
Yeah, but your
nuts.
Best defensive player is gone.
Nuts.
And offensively, they still haven't really done a great job of putting weapons around Bryce Young.
See, I disagree with that. I think Deontay Johnson's a good NFL receiver. Legit, like he was a guy that they drafted pretty stinking high. So I think that he has a chance to be pretty good. Adam Thielen caught 100 passes last year. They drafted a tight end in the second round. They drafted a running back who might not be healthy by day one. I actually think that they put some pretty good pieces around him.
I think maybe for the long term. I just think that's nuts to bet on him for this season. I just don't see that.
But I mean, it's plus 1,500.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's
insane.
It's a
value.
Yeah,
it's insane value for a bad division. I'm not really. It's not so much Carolina. It's that I'm getting plus 1,500 in a division where it might only take 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not going to do it. But I'm like, it's a lot of value. I watched this video today about Jameis Winston was mic'd up in a preseason game. Jameis Winston's breaking down the huddles. Like, he's breaking down the team meetings. Jameis Winston is the leader on the Cleveland Browns. How weird is it that the backup quarterback is the undisputed leader, not only in the quarterback room, but the undisputed leader on the football team.
He was on McAfee today, too. Like, as
was
the,
he really?
And they were That's all hilarious. Fired up about it. And I'm like, he's the backup quarterback in Cleveland, and you're fired up about getting Jameis Winston.
I would be
on
fired up. Jameis
Winston's
awesome. Is he the
one making $240 million?
No.
No.
I love Jameis Winston. What do you have against Jameis Winston?
I don't have anything against Jameis Winston as a person. I have a lot against Jameis Winston as a football player. I don't think he's that good.
But I think it would be awesome to have him on the show because he's just like a walking quote that's entertaining and funny.
Yeah, I would have him on the show in a
heartbeat. Yeah, he might not be a good quarterback, but he's super entertaining. Like, I can understand why McAfee would want to have him on.
Okay. Well, I just think that, you know, to your point, Brian, and look, Deshaun Watson is supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be, and to your point, Jeremy, he's supposed to be the leader. And all you're hearing is he's not going to play in the preseason, but everything's going to be fine. And the Browns are going to be fighting for a playoff spot. I don't think so.
They're an interesting team this year. Like Amari Cooper was on the trade block, and they were willing to trade him if they got Ayuk. They didn't, so Cooper's still there on a one-year deal. Nick Chubb, when does he come back? Their defense should be pretty good. That's an interesting, and they're a playoff team from a year ago. Another
a playoff team on the
team,
you know, with Flacco at the helm. I mean, Deshaun Watson, what we've seen with him in Cleveland so far has not been very good.
No,
he was playing better when he got hurt, though. If we're being
better
fair.
Compared to the first year there, but still wasn't good.
He was playing. He was starting to pick it up a bit. He was starting to play much better. Like his last two games, 20-for-34. Game prior to that, 19-for-30. He limited the interceptions. He was playing much better before he got injured than he did start of the year and last year.
You know where I stand on that. I just felt like with the time he missed and everything that he's never going to be close to what he was. And what he was capable of turning the ball over and doing a lot of bad things as much as the good things he did. But he got paid. He got his money. But I think Cleveland's going to really regret that move.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like what they look like this year. Texter saying, I heard rumors that starting to circulate that the Saints could trade Derek Carr to the Vikings. Would it be a good move for the Saints to punt their mediocre quarterback and fully embrace the suck? I think Carr has a no-trade clause. I saw that those rumors were debunked. But if we entertain it for a little bit, I think the Saints have a chance to win this division. And I do think that if they moved on from Carr and went with a young quarterback, that they lessened their chances to win the division. So, no, I wouldn't do that.
It doesn't make sense for either team, in
no.
my opinion.
I would wait. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Carr to a quarterback desperate team, but closer to the deadline, not before the year in a bad division. If they were in a good division, okay. Bad division, no.
No, I think that Minnesota feels like they have a good roster if they had a quarterback that they could they think that they could.
Yeah, but
sneakily.
Carr's not that guy though.
I agree with you 100%.
And that's part of the problem why it makes no sense for either team. Like if you add Carr to the Vikings, does that put them past the Lions or the Packers or the Bears?
I don't think so.
I think they're still in last either way, so what's the point?
It stinks though because their receivers are so good. Like Jefferson and Addison, and then
they're
gonna have Sam Darnold throwing them the football. It would have been fun to have JJ McCarthy throw them the football.
Didn't Addison just get hurt?
They said it's not serious.
It's not supposed to be anything that affects the season.
Yeah, Texter's calling us clowns because Watson was 5-1 as a starter last year.
No, I hate the wins are quarterback
stat
arguments.
Go look at his
arguments.
Performance in some of those wins.
I mean, I was telling you guys he's playing better. I think the text was directed at you guys, and I agree with the Texter.
Okay.
Do you agree with the they were 5-1 with Watson as a starter. They
Show
weren't
me the
as
stat
good.
Line.
Yeah. He had some good games.
Oh, come on.
He
it
did.
It was
the defense. Too.
27-for-33, 289, 2 touchdowns. That's a good game.
Okay. How many?
You're not
going to
mention
have?
The stinkers.
I mean, he only really had one stinker. The first game of the year against a game that they won, 16-for-29, 154 yards, touchdown and a pick. Pittsburgh, 22-for-40, 235, a touchdown and a pick. That's not a good game. I wouldn't call it a stinker though. They lost by 4. Beat Tennessee by 24. 27-for-33, 289, 2 touchdowns. That's a good game. They blew out Tennessee by 24. Now, I am counting a game where he got injured. They beat the Colts by 1, and he was 1-for-5 before he left the game with an injury. Missed Seattle, and then the two games before he got hurt, they shut out Arizona. He was 19-for-30, 219, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That's a good game. And then they beat Baltimore at Baltimore in his final start, 20-for-34, 213, touchdown and a pick. Mediocre game. But they beat Baltimore at Baltimore. So, like...
Yeah, I just hate wins as a stat for QBs.
I think he was better last year than people give him credit for, if I'm being dead honest.
After going through the game log, there's an argument there, but I just hate
even
the wins.
Even better, with what you're paying him and what you gave up to get him, he's got to be better than just good.
Yeah, but now you're talking about like return on investment versus like him versus the narrative of him. Because I would agree with you that his return on investment has not been good. He's not playing up to the salary, but I would say that he's outproducing what y'all thought he did last year.
I just haven't been impressed with him. So if that's the way, sure.
Matt Milano tore his bicep. My Buffalo Bills are going to run away with the AFC East immediately. Takes a hit the very next day. This is Branham Foot and Mouth. I have these bold thoughts and opinions, and the very next day something comes crashing down that hurts that thought or opinion. That AFC East might be a little bit more competitive up at the top. The Matt Milano injury is pretty significant, I think, even though he was pretty hurt last year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was hurt last year. Unfortunately, he comes back. He gets hurt again, different injury. Hell of a player, too, all over the place, wreaking havoc. That's going to be a hit for the Buffalo defense for sure.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. When we return, Glenn Davis, the voice of Soccer Matters, the host of Soccer Matters right here on ESPN 97.5. He's going to join us to talk about the new gaffer for the U.S. men's national team, Mauricio Pochettino. Glenn Davis next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP will create a plan for what you and your business need. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the host of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, Glenn Davis. Glenn, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees. Talk us through the hiring, reportedly, of Mauricio Pochettino as the new gaffer for the U.S. men's national team. Does this move your needle, Glenn?
Well, guys, I got to tell you, I'm going to move my record needle after hearing Brian McDonald with that break music, the Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers. Can't you hear me knocking? So I can't do the interview, Will. Can I come back tomorrow?
No, we only have time for you today.
Shocking you and the Stones,
let's get into
love?
This.
Come on.
Let's get into this. So Mauricio Pochettino, I think, is a great signing, and I think we spoke before, us three, you, me, and Joel, about how they had to have a bigger personality in here. So here comes a guy that's coached Tottenham in the Premier League, PSG. He's taken Tottenham to a Champions League final. But this is a coach now that I think that is going to come in. And the pros behind him is that everybody's going to have to reestablish themselves. We get a little bit away from the kumbaya and the comfort that Berhalter had with all the players. No matter who you are, you're going to have to reprove yourself now to a new manager. And it's a guy that these guys can look at and say, yeah, he's kind of been there, done that, both as a player and a coach. So this is a step up. We've never really hired an international coach of this stature outside of Jurgen Klinsmann. So for me, and I think you said it right, reportedly, because there's no final agreement in place yet. The board of directors of UF Soccer have to sign off on it. Plus, he's got money owed to him by Chelsea that they have to get worked out before he can sign a contract. But I would be very excited about this for a lot of reasons beyond the ones I just said.
Glenn, let me ask you just about the fact that we know the World Cup's on the horizon, the timing of all of this, and how challenging it might be when he wants to come in from the roster to, you know, the style he wants to play, and how that all comes into play with him being hired or allegedly hired in the near future.
Yeah, so a lot of this is situational. You know, I heard a lot of people and a lot of my contemporaries and colleagues saying, oh, who's going to want the U.S. job? I heard fans saying that, and I'm like, who isn't going to want it? You automatically get a ticket into coaching in the World Cup. You don't have to qualify a team. So you're coming in kind of to be a hired gun here, take this team as far as you can go. He's going to be European-based once he signs this thing. So he's going to be going around Europe,
which is not that hard to do because everything's close together, watching and assessing players, figuring out what types of tweaks he'll make. And he'll make tweaks to this system. I think there'll be a little bit more freedom in the U.S. national team in the future, which I think we need. But it's an incredible opportunity, I think. And I'm sure there would have been others who would have taken it. I mean, to coach a World Cup, the host nation, in a country in 2026 where you could maybe take the game to another level, platform it, and take a U.S. national team farther than anybody ever has.
Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, joining us on the HRMP guest line. A couple things there. Hired gun makes it seem like it's short term. How long do you think a tenure would be? And, of course, a lot of that's based on success. And then you mentioned based in Europe. Do you think there might be a little bit of a separation away from MLS?
Well, first of all, you got to see how many MLS guys are going to make the roster. The team has been pretty much European-based right now, so he would be over there monitoring the players. I think that's the biggest point, though, Jeremy and Joel, is that coaching club soccer and a club team on a daily basis with training sessions, very different coaching a national team, and he does not have experience doing that. So this is, you don't have a lot of time with players. And as a coach, you know, it's a lot of assessment. It's talking to people. It's talking to the club coaches where these guys play, and then trying to piece it all together in short amount of times in tournaments and friendly matches heading into the World Cup. So it's a different thing. So that would be one of the cons, is how is he going to adapt to that? And he's going to have to adapt to the national team, and he's also going to have to understand, you know, this group of players, whether they're American or, you know, dual citizens, whatever. He's going to have to be able to understand them as well. And he's not the kind of guy who's going to come in and, you know, make it all about him. I think he's a pretty smart guy, highly professional. I've always liked him, both as a player and as a coach, and the way he's handled himself.
Oh, Glenn, that's kind of where I was going, too. You and I have had conversations, too, about when you have to fight management, when you have to fight and be able to stand up and maybe push back when you know that the way the team has been run has been not maybe what a lot of true soccer traditionalists would like and desire for this team, how they would be run. Is he the kind of guy that's going to put his foot down, push back, and basically say, now that I got the job, this is what I have to have?
Yeah, I don't think he's signing a contract without a number of those things in place. And his ideas are going to be first and foremost. He's not going to have people meddling in his work. And like I said, I think the team got a little bit robotic under Greg Berhalter, very, very highly data-driven. I think it'll still have a lot of data involved. You have to be. But I also think that he's going to bring and allow players a little bit more freedom and creativity. I mean, he's Argentine, right? So you know that's going to happen. And I think, you know, that's something that will excite people. This will have to be, and he will demand high work, high pressing, 90-minute effort, but he will also allow for creativity. And he comes from a club in Argentina called Newell's Old Boys, which has a legendary coach, Marcelo Bielsa. And Bielsa has influenced a lot of Argentine coaches in this real high pressing, high energy, but also freedom within that type of system soccer.
Okay, it sounds like we should be excited about this. Glenn, I let you decide how I feel when it comes to Soccer Matters. So you're telling me to be excited. I'm going to be excited. And to answer your question, we have not seen too much soccer. I know you had this on your show the other day. Have we seen too much soccer? No, we have not seen too much soccer, Glenn.
Well, I find it hard to believe that I say that, but you know, I do think it's a little saturated. I mean, with the Euros, with the Copa America, with the Olympics, with Leagues Cup, I mean, it's a lot of soccer. I will tell you, the crowd for the that Lone Star Sports and Entertainment put on the game with Tigres, where Messi was supposed to be there, that was an amazing crowd. That was all Tigres fans from Mexico, from Monterrey, that a lot of them reside here. That team is so popular in Houston. That may be the most popular soccer team in Houston. That was an amazing night because their fan base behind the goal orchestrated this whole thing where they'd say something and then the entire stadium would respond, and it was just a very good up and down game between them and Inter Miami. It had a real authentic feel to me. I absolutely loved it.
All right, Glenn, we appreciate you hanging out, giving us some intel on the new reported manager for the U.S. men's national team, and we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, Jeremy. Cool.
Thanks, Glenn.
Anytime. Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters, right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, giving us the intel of Mauricio Pochettino, reportedly the new gaffer for the U.S. men's national team. All right, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? Car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Don't give me all the bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Blanker's darted out. He's not too happy with who the U.S. men's national team chose to be their new manager. So he's distraught that Mauricio Pochettino is the new gaffer.
Upset the coach so didn't have more Wisconsin ties. Is that it? Mauricio? How'd you say his last name again?
Pochettino.
Pochettino. Not many Wisconsin ties.
He didn't like that he was going to be based in Europe.
Yeah, you know, these colors don't run for Joel.
Yeah, he had to leave a little early. He's a little distraught over Mauricio reportedly being the new gaffer for the U.S. men's national team. What are you guys nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Brian?
I'd like to nominate. This will be quick, and then I'll go to one that has a little more detail in it. But I'd quickly like to nominate the six inning rule or proposed six inning rule that the Major League Baseball might try to put in. I hate the idea of trying to regulate strategy and the idea that you're increasing player safety by making them go through six innings is ridiculous to me. The other one, it's just silly. No real stakes here, nothing to take it too serious. But Nate Burleson was apparently asked, the former wide receiver played for the Vikings. I'm not sure where else he played. But he was asked, like, what five current NFL quarterbacks he'd like to catch a pass from.
Huh.
And three of the names made sense. I mean, one on the list is Mahomes, two is Lamar Jackson, five is Burrow. Okay, sure. Three and four, Russell Wilson and Michael Penix Jr. Huh? Like, if you could pick any quarterback to catch passes from, and I don't even say this as like, C.J. Stroud should have been on the list, but
yeah.
If you could pick any five quarterbacks in the league to catch passes from, you're picking 2024 Russell Wilson, who's been out of his prime for five-plus year and a rookie?
I wonder if he's trying to. I wonder if he has a personal connection with him.
I don't know.
And he's trying to give him the rub.
There must be some. Maybe they share. Maybe he and Russell Wilson share an agent. Maybe he's friends with Michael Penix, like you said. Maybe there's a relationship there. But it just feels so far out of left field that, well, one, Russell Wilson hasn't been good in 5 years, and two, I mean, Michael Penix Jr. isn't even a starter for his team.
It's got to. There's no correlation.
Yeah.
It's got to be the rub.
It's got to be.
He knows him personally. Or
maybe they have the same agent. Maybe
they did a camp together.
Some family members know each other. I don't know.
Maybe Penix went to his camp when he was young.
Could be.
Something like
that. It's just such a weird list.
That's pretty random.
Yeah.
Who are the five guys you'd want to catch a football from?
I'd keep, obviously, Mahomes and Burrow on there. I'd put C.J. Stroud on there. After that, it's tough. I think I would go Matt Stafford. Makes it into, so that's four. I need one more. We'll go ahead and put Lamar Jackson in there. So basically, okay. I would take out Penix and Russell Wilson, put in CJ and Matthew Stafford.
I'll go Mahomes. Like, if we're talking current quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Current, of course.
Current.
I'll go Mahomes because he might go down as the greatest ever. I'll go Stroud because he might go down as the greatest ever in Houston. Got to go Case Keenum. Go Cougs. Case Keenum belongs on this list.
Go Cougs?
Yeah, go Cougs.
Our beloved Cougs!
No, we can't do that. I need two more. I'll go Burrow, because we had that moment in the elevator once.
Yeah, you guys are best friends.
We locked eyes in the elevator.
Soulmates, some have said.
We had a moment of bliss. And then the last one, I need one more.
Yeah, five.
Clayton Tune. Let's go Clayton Tune.
No,
I'm going to have to stop saying Cougars because that sounds terrible.
Here, I'll fix it for you.
There, that's much better. That's much better. I also wanted to nominate the proposed starting pitcher must go six innings thing. They're just getting in the way of our great, great sport. Josh from Seabrook, car wreck of the day, Manfred, six innings minimum is going to backfire spectacularly via injury. That's the ironic thing is they're doing this because they think it's going to prevent injury.
Meanwhile, it's so funny that they want to do this to prevent injury. Meanwhile, they keep going further and further with the sticky stuff that would, like all the pitchers tell you, would help reduce injury if you let them use some sticky stuff.
Manfred is radical, man.
I just don't think he's smart or in touch with the game.
He's by far the most radical commissioner they've ever had. Can we vote for him out of office in November? Can he be up for this?
I instead of voting for president, I would like to just trade my vote in for a vote against Manfred.
They should do that.
I would do that.
They should have a commissioner presidential
candidate. It's not like my vote
matters
in Texas anyway, so let me vote for Manfred.
Commissioner election every 4 years. And you can do it like in the off presidential years. That way they don't go head to head. Because I would vote Manfred out of office.
Today.
Too radical for me. Radical out of the office.
I can't think of another commissioner who's made more radical changes to the game than Rob Manfred.
Hadn't been. Oscar De La Hoya went on the Shannon Sharp podcast. I don't know what they're calling it these days. But here was Oscar De La Hoya trying to normalize him dressing in female clothing a long time ago.
I said they were real because it set me free.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're out there 15 years ago, so what? I mean, what? I bet if I ask 30 people here, 20 of them say, yeah, I've worn something from a woman. In closed doors. That's what happens. Mine just came out publicly.
Y'all don't know about that, Oscar.
Come on. Hey, come on, let me see.
I ain't got no socks, so I know I ain't wearing no pantyhose.
De La Hoya thought he was going to have like this epiphany, aha moment. And Shannon's like, nah, man, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the whole clip. Like, I don't know about that, Oscar.
Yeah.
You can tell that moment Shannon was like, I'm trying to search for something to be supportive of you, but I don't know about that, Oscar.
I got nothing. Saying I don't know about that, Oscar, might have been the most supportive thing he could have said.
Exactly. He searched in that brief pause. He searched his mind for anything he could say positive, and all he could come up with was, I don't know, Oscar.
Yeah, so I nominate the Golden Girl, Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, come on, Golden Girl.
I mean, he's talking about how free it
set him. I know, it's just like the low-hanging fruit joke is all.
Kurt Busch got a DWI, got a DWI.
He's a NASCAR driver, right?
Yeah, which, I mean, that happens to people.
But he's a professional.
But he's a professional driver.
You would hope, look, I mean, obviously he's inebriated. It affects everyone kind of the same. But you would hope a professional driver would be able to mask the symptoms more than the average
Joe. Well, there's two ways to look at it. One, like, it's your profession. You should know better. Like, we should all know better.
That's the main takeaway, yeah.
But do you think he's better at it?
I would hope so. Like, I mean, whatever effects it has on the average person, I hope a professional could handle it better than the average person.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe that's not true. Maybe the science doesn't back that up, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah, we're not condoning driving all under the influence. We're just, you
know. Say do it better if you're a professional, that's all.
0002, I nominate my mother for mixing her meds, causing her another trip to the ER. I'm so exhausted. 0002 is a bit of a prankster, so I don't know if he's serious there. But if he is serious
also, if she's having like cognitive issues where she's doing it, maybe help her out, do it for her.
Yeah.
Like get one of those multi-day things and... I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully that she's well, though, 0002. Hopefully, if you're being sincere.
Yeah, all the best to your mom.
6207, car wreck of the day. The guy talking about massaging Stephon Diggs.
That was an unfortunate gaffe.
That was Lamont.
Yeah.
Lamont was talking about all the praise.
Yeah, massaging.
That Stephon Diggs.
People were massaging.
I haven't seen
it. I don't even know if we could say that, but.
Well, yeah, if we can, we need to get it on a drop, though.
Yeah. I think it'd be a
good drop. If I want a DD who is drunk, I would definitely want a NASCAR driver. You'd be on the road less time. Now, it might be more dangerous.
Yeah, I think if I was forced to get in a ride with someone drunk, I would want it to be a professional driver, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they should be better at it.
You shouldn't be in it, but if you're forced to.
Yeah. Keith saying, wait, did Blankers really leave?
Yeah, he had
some
here.
Family obligations that he had to do. Although the Twitch wants him to prorate his salary.
like they should prorate our salary next Friday.
Yeah, that's right. We're working an extra hour. Wrong answers only, why did Blankers leave? Poncho said that he had to return his Blockbuster video, which I think is Poncho's go-to joke.
That joke is as old as Blockbuster video.
75, Joel, skipping out 15 minutes a day is like 60 hours a year?
Ooh, so
is that true?
I don't know. I haven't done the math, and I don't want to.
15.
I'll just trust the person because I don't want to do the math.
Let's assume he works 50 days a week times 5. That's 250 times 15 minutes divided by 60. Dang, it's over 60 hours a year.
Wow.
62 hours.
So you were saying Blankers owes Gal Media 60 hours worth of pay?
That's a lot. That's a week and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, we only work 3 hours a day.
You know what? That's actually credit to Blankers for scheming the system. You know, regardless of how much PTO we get, he just found an extra 60 hours.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
That's really good. All right, what's winning here?
I'm going to go with the Manfred six-inning minimum. You want to go Oscar, don't you?
The Golden Girl?
I can tell you want to go Oscar.
No, I think that the six innings thing is good. I also had that at the top of my list. I just thought the Oscar thing was funny. And then multiple people texted that one in, too. It's such a terrible idea.
Awful.
Such a terrible idea. Yeah, proposed starting pitcher must go 60 innings thing. Congratulations, you win. Robert Manfred, you're up to your old tricks. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Glenn Davis for jumping on. Thanks to Brian for doing the hard work. He was Blank. I am Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.